is Amanda.
And this is Chris.
And this is Vocal Herspective.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Vocal Herspective. It's me, Chris, and I'm here with Amanda.
Hello.
We are so excited to bring this guest to you. We have been working on this guest for a while now. And for those of you who know her, you'll be shocked that she took some convincing. Please welcome Jean O'Connor.
Hello, hello, ladies. How are
My
you?
Voice like crashed there for a second.
I mean, it's not every day that you get to talk, you know, we get to have a living legend on our show. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. Now my voice is cracking.
I know, right? Like, what's up with us?
Oh. Hi, Jean. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm good. I mean, I'm speaking for Chris because I see her every 5 minutes. So
yeah, we've been talking all day.
Are you both in Virginia?
Maryland and Virginia might as well be. We're the
it's
greater.
Pretty much the same place.
The DMV. We're both in the DMV. I can drive to Amanda in an hour. If she needed me, it would take me an hour, but I could be there. I could get there. Okay. And Jean is joining us from the sunny state of Florida.
Correct. Naples.
Yeah, Naples. How long have you lived there, Jean? How long now?
Denny and I came down in 2017, and rented in this community's golf community called Cedar Hammock. And we loved it so well after 2 months that we went home thinking we were going to come back a year later and extend it to 3 months of renting. But instead, we got home from that 2 months trip and bought.
Nice.
So we have had a place here in Naples since 17, but we didn't become permanent until 22 when we sold our home in the Chicago Western Suburbs area and moved solely here in Naples.
That's awesome. Well,
lucky Florida.
Yes, very lucky Florida. Yeah. And for those people tuning in that don't quite know you as well as we might know you, Jean, give us your little spiel when you tell people your bio. Just give us a little bit of background about who you are and how you got your way into acapella, how that came into your life. And I know it came very early for you, like myself.
Yes, very early. It doesn't seem possible that it's that many years ago, but it is. It is what it is. I was a 13-year-old teenager in Chicago area, and my best friend lived down the street, and her mother had been a professional singer at one time until she started raising her children. She got out of the profession, but continued to sing in her living room, and her daughter and I would circle the piano and sing together and harmonize. We just had a good time. So here I am now, a 13-year-old kid. And my father passed away, and they knew that I was in kind of in a funk. And about 6 months after that occurred, they said to me, you know, we have joined a women's singing organization. Would you like to come hear us sometime? I said, oh, yeah, that'd be fun, because they knew I liked to sing. So here we are in April 11th, 1961. They took me to this evening of song. And there I was introduced to the genre. I had never heard barbershop harmony before. I was introduced to Joanne Willett, who is the international president of some organization called Harmony Incorporated, introduced to Ruth Giles, who was the director of this chorus of 20-some ladies called the Village Vocal Chords. And Ruth was one of the founders, one of five founders. And I was introduced to a quartet called the Key Chords, one of our first international championship quartets. Mm-hmm. So it was all brand new to me. And I was so enamored. I went home unable to sleep because, of course, the chords were in my head and I couldn't get it out. 4 days later, I turned 14 years old. So this was April. At that time, the VVCs, Village Vocal Chords, did not accept members under the age of high school. I was an eighth grader. So in May, I graduated from eighth grade. By mid-May, I was a member of the Village Vocal Chorus. That's how I discovered acapella music.
Do you realize that the day you were introduced to barbershop is Barbershop Quartet Day?
I didn't know that till years later. That's correct. April 11th. Yes.
Like, how incredible is that? It's like, wow, could the universe have been like trying to give you more signs? Like, that's incredible. And even exactly. If it was like after the fact, it's still one of those like, whoa. That's so cool. Oh, I had not heard that full story. I had heard bits and pieces, but I had not heard all of it.
Now, Ruth Giles, you might know, was the director of the VVCs at the time, an experienced barbershopper from Peoria, Illinois, originally. And she had been a member of the Sweat Lines organization, had been a regent, in fact, And in 1955, in fact, she won a championship quartet contest with Sweet Adelines called the Notabells. So here she was, very well versed in the genre, and she became my mentor. And she built that chorus to include about seven or eight youth members. And we all got along well, and we had one member who became our mom, who always looked over us if we were at a convention or something. We always had to be in our rooms by 11 o'clock, and we were good kids at the time, so no problem. By 1964, Ruth wanted us to form a quartet with some of this youth that she had in her chorus. So she put together a quartet of one lead and three baritones, and we had to determine who was going to sing what. So the very first rehearsal, besides starting to determine what we were going to call ourselves, which of course you know is the hardest part of quartetting, is finding
always, always.
Okay. We got together and we sang a little bit, and Betty Gunterman, Betty Somogyi was her maiden name at the time.
She wasn't even Gunterman yet.
Betty was a lead singer in the vocal chorus. I was a baritone. Holly Holgrave singer was a baritone. I was Jean Eam at the time, E-M-E. And Ruth Giles was a bass. Actually, she was a lead, come to think of it, because she was a lead in the Key Chords Championship Quartet.
Okay.
But compared to a bunch of young kids, she was a bass.
Exactly. She's probably in her early 30s. So we came together and we determined who's going to sing what. Ruth said, try this. So I ended up the baritone. Holly popped up to tenor. Betty stayed lead, of course. And Ruth sang bass. So that became the Scale Blazers. And at the time in Harmony Incorporated, you only needed two songs to compete in one session. There were no semifinals or anything. So
wow.
It was pretty, but that's pretty good, fortunate for us, because we only knew three songs.
We have been there.
we're kind of there right now.
So 1964, and the Scale Blazers went on the stage. But before we went on, Ruth Giles behind the curtain said, okay, we're switching songs. Okay. Oh, wait. And if you can picture a lead and a baritone, when they take the tonal pitch, sometimes they're reversed. The lead will be higher than the baritone. Sometimes the baritone's above. Okay. So we started the song when we got on stage, and it was, I could be so happy with you by my side, was the lead. And depending on which song we sang, the lead and I switched. So the first three chords, because we switched songs when we were kind of confused, that hadn't really computed yet, the first three chords were, we had flipped chords. That's okay. By the fourth chord, we're good.
And, oh, my.
And Scale Blazers won that championship, 1964.
So, oh, my gosh.
I was 17 and a half. And
still the youngest on record.
Yes, that's what they say.
Yep. You're still the youngest to win a gold medal quartet on record. I don't know if there's been younger choruses.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think there have been for gold, but you're definitely the youngest quartet queen. Yeah. So
actually, Holly was also 17, but she was days from turning 18.
Oh.
And I was only 17 and a half. So
I was 19, because I had to do the math real quick to see where I fell on the lines. I think Laurie Ottaut still had me beat.
Yeah, right. I think Alexander, Maggie McAlexander, I think was close. I mean, she came within months, I think. Yeah.
She had to have been pretty close too.
She was really close.
Yeah, that's right. So what was funny about that contest is we sat in the front row awaiting the scores. And at the time, we didn't have computers back then, of course. So all of the scoring was done by pencil on paper by the secretary of the panel. And Ruth said, I'm going to go out in the hall and I'll be back. So the three teenagers sat in the front row and waited. And the secretary of the panel came over and said, went down the line. She said, Holly, how old are you? She said, 17. Jean, how old are you? I said, 17. Betty, how old are you? Betty said, 18. Thank you very much. And she went back to her pit desk. Well, we didn't even know it. Ruth hadn't told us that the rules at that time were you had to have at least two members of the quartet that were 18 or older. So we were fortunate.
Fortunate that Betty had a couple months on you then.
That's right.
Nice.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm glad we don't have that rule anymore.
No, well, for sure. A lot of rules that have changed over the time. We used to have a time rule, of course. you had to sing within a certain amount of time. And if you didn't, you got penalized X number of points per second. And in fact, I know a quartet from Village Vocal Chords who lost the championship because they were six seconds over. Yeah.
Oh, 6 seconds.
Well, that would make, I mean, that's when I was sort of understood because, Amanda, that's what made me think of sweeps. Like, I was like, oh, I remember when there used to be a timer. My dad used to talk about like the red timer at the bottom, like on the corner of the stage. Like it was there. You could, or down on the pit, you could see the timer. They would show the guys. So like, you knew.
Really?
Like a countdown. And it was like, dude, you better get off it. I gotta go. Like,
cut it off.
Skip the tag and get out of town.
I think that was back when they allowed talking. So that was their way of like trying to corral like how much talking you would do. Otherwise, like you'd sing, talk.
That's right.
Forever.
Catch your breath a little bit.
So we've seen that change. So we went from, when did they switch from one? From doing the one set, like basically just one contest, to going to a semifinals. Do you remember?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't remember what year it was. No.
Yeah. And I mean, I still talk about us doing it all on one day. You know, Amanda.
Oh,
and I,
yes.
Amanda and
that
I.
Was before my time.
Yeah. Amanda and I have been sitting here watching the Barbershop Harmony Society's first round of whatever they call it. What is this, semifinals?
This is the quarterfinals. Quarterfinals.
And then they have semis and then whatever. But like, we're sitting there watching, I'm like, can you imagine, Amanda, like going out and singing two songs like that? And then about 3 hours later, go do it again.
Oh my, that'd be tough.
It was hard. I mean, that was really hard. That's what we were doing up until a few, not too long ago. I mean,
that's right.
That was intense. Very intense. Yeah. So, and we also, Jean, you got to experience the capes. My so well-loved capes. That nobody will bring back, and then people keep offering to give me their capes. They must not have been great. Me and Christina Llewellyn just think the capes are.
I'm on team cape too. I gotta say, I'm on team cape.
Yes, I have witnessed Christina beg to bring them back. Yes,
so she got her very own, and has she let me try them on? No,
yeah, no.
It's gonna change. Epic City together on July 20th. My manifestation. For
is that right?
You will get to try on the cape?
Okay, yes. So, that's Jean, funny. Let's talk about your beginnings with VVC. So when did you step into the role as director of the Village Vocal Chords?
Well, again, I started in 61, and Ruth Giles was the director for all that time. And around 1975, Ruth was thinking that she was looking to retire from the directing job. Now, that's the year that she named a couple of us assistant directors. And although we didn't have much time in front of the chorus, we had the title. So when she finally decided to retire, we had a little bit of time, not a lot of time, before someone had to take over in her place. So a couple of us tried it. And I stood in front of the chorus and started waving my hands and didn't really know what these things on the end of my wrists were supposed to do. They were flailing. And so I continued, however, to try to direct the chorus as best I could. Now, mind you, that the chorus under Ruth Giles had been quite, well, she had a lot of success. She'd never won the championship, which was a shame because she was certainly good enough to do that. But the chorus had won, I think, the several second place medals, third place medals. They didn't have fourth and fifth back in those days. We came in fifth once a year, one year, we came in seventh under her direction. So this was in May of 76 that she left. And I continued to direct a rehearsal one after the next and for a couple of months. And in the meantime, I was singing in a championship quartet called Esprit de Corps with, again, Betty Gunterman and Joanne Huff and a woman named Sharon Schneider, who moved from Chicago to Iowa in midstream there. But we won, and we met with a gentleman named Mac Huff.
I was going to say, our a cappella fans out there that are not tied into Barbershop would know Joey through her connection with Mac.
That's correct. Mac was a wonderful mentor to that quartet for a couple of months and mentor to me, this struggling individual who was waving her hands frantically in front of this chorus. So he gave me some wonderful guidance. And Joey was Joanne Dubois at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, before she became Joanne Huff. And I said, finally, about August or September, I said, ladies, a contest is looming. If you're willing to go into the contest with me, I'm willing to go into the contest with you. What do you think? And they said, yeah, let's just do it. Okay. So we went in, and wouldn't you know it, we won our first international championship. So that's how I was introduced to directing the chorus. And it was quite a ride thereafter, as you might know.
I mean, how many decades of gold medals?
Well, in Harmony Incorporated, as you know, when a chorus wins the international championship, they must sit out of the contest the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So we won in 76. We sat out 77, went back in 1978, and came in a close second. I think it was by 4 points.
Oh, my gosh.
So we went back in 79. And continued then to win every championship every other year from that point forward until through 2015. So 20 international championships.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was remarkable and quite fun. And every year we went into the contest, our goal was to sing the best we possibly could,
and let
the scores fall where they may. And
I mean, I remember walking into Area 4 and being like, "That's a chorus." Like, I want to sing in that chorus, but it was Chicago. So it was out of my reach, but I did get to do a show finally.
Is
BBC.
That right?
I got to be on a show, be on the BBC show with you guys. And that was huge for me. So you were always growing too. Like, it just seemed like there were just new people coming in and out, but there were always the same people still too. And I never could figure out how you guys managed to keep such a core group, but also just keep bringing in people to the fold.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of years, we were around 25 members, and had sort of a large quartet sound, I guess. And then I think the most we ever had was a number of 45 members.
And that's a very different chorus. We're learning that with Bella. That, you know, there are some pros to having a chorus that's 20 or less, and then some new challenges when you're up in the 30s.
That's true. As you said, the operative word there was core, solid core, because as the chorus continued to have success and enjoy Harmony Incorporated and all of what our organization offers each of us, we were also having a number of successful quartets. Over those years, we had 10 international championship quartets in the Village Vocal Chords. Now, there were several that had more than one championship, but yeah, 10 of them.
That to me was always remarkable. And it's happening more now as choruses are, you know, longevity of choruses. But when you would look up at the parade of like the champions at the end, when VVC would be accepting their gold or even giving away the gold, the number of sparkly hats, the number of crowns that you could see in there. And it will directly correlate to the success of your chorus many times. We're seeing it with choruses now. And I think I love that because I use chorus rehearsal as quartet rehearsal as well. Like I learn at chorus for my quartet.
Sure.
And they always said, you know, the more quartets in your chorus, the stronger your chorus will be. It's true. Like
we're
you can do it by yourself, and we're seeing it. We have a new program at Bella Nova where they do the Bella Quartet Experience, which just happens like 30 minutes to an hour before rehearsal every time we get together. And they just work on quartetting, work on doing the art by yourself. It's a scary thing, but it's necessary.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. That reminds me, I don't know if you want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Well, of course we want to hear it, Gene, whatever it is.
going back to the Scale Blazers and Ruth Giles, who was so knowledgeable in the genre, how we would learn new music was mostly by rote. Ruth would say, Betty, sing this. Ruth would add the bass, and then she'd say, now, Gene and Holly, find your parts. Now, Ruth did not play an instrument, but she could plunk out on a piano. She knew that much. And she could write the notes on a piece of paper. So that was good. So she would write the lead on the liner space and write her bass in a liner space by plunking it on this little tiny, probably by 2 feet wide organ that she had. And she said, okay, now.
Oh my gosh, it's not even a pitched instrument. It's an organ.
No, no. See, now Now go ahead and sing that chord. Okay. Now, Holly, what did you sing? And Holly would say, woo, and what did you sing? Ooh. And then she'd say, let's find it. And she'd take her the organ. She'd go look around on the notes to try to find what note it was, and then she'd write it in. That was the most wonderful ear training I can imagine.
Were there rules like to what the arrangement had to be back then, or was it pretty open? Were there pretty tight rules, and was Ruth just that good at throwing the rules in there?
Well, it could have been that Ruth remembered music from another period of time. She heard it in her head and she said, I think this is how the lead went. Or
Wow.
she'd say, I used to sing the lead, so I know it's that. And she could hear the bass, and now she just needed to find some chords
That's like
to
tag singing
continue to
on
teach the borrowed.
steroids. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
Amazing. Amazing.
But I mean, no wonder you like live, eat, and breathe barbershop. Like that's your
Right.
you had to succeed in that kind of environment.
That's right. We had a blast.
Wow. That's so cool. I love that story. So you moved to Florida. You retired from your years of the directing of VVC, and you go to Florida, and I thought you were going to do it, Jean. I thought you were going to stick your feet in the sand and you were going to say, no, I shall sing and only sing, but not yet. And how long was it, Jean, in Florida until that just crumbled right down?
Actually, that still is my wish to sing, because for 43 years, I did not sing. Everybody knows what my back looks like, but no
It's
one
a very
knows
nice
what.
back, Jean. It is a
She has
very
a
nice
very
back.
nice back of her head, too.
How sweet. Thank you so much. That's the nicest thing I could have said. No, we got here, and lo and behold, I hear in 2017, or actually, no, 2019, pardon me, that there's a new chorus forming, because two individuals whom I knew from Area 4 from Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, were moving to Florida, Fort Myers, which is about a 40-minute drive north of me. And they were going to form a new Harmony Incorporated chorus. It was Pam Ringo and Angie Beatty from Louisville, Kentucky, Pam having directed Bluegrass Harmony for the last
Pam was
four
a
years.
former guest of ours, so our listeners will be familiar. Or Angie, sorry, Angie was a former guest of ours. We talked about Pam a lot that
Oh,
episode.
sure,
So yeah,
absolutely.
Angie came
Pam,
on.
we're coming for you. Don't worry about it.
Coming for Pam.
So here are these wonderful friends that I knew them, but didn't know them well. They were in the same area as I for several years, but they were relatively new to Harmony. I think Pam directed them for about 4 years. And so they came to Fort Myers, and I attended their very first gathering to see if this was going to get off the ground. Sure enough, there were probably 15 of us that night, mostly experienced singers, barbershoppers from another organization. And we said, well, yeah, let's try this. So 6 months later, Coastal Voices chartered with Harmony Incorporated out of Fort Myers, Florida. It was in October of 2019. I had said to Pam from day one, Pam, don't worry about it. You've got this job forever, because I want to sing and you are the director. Yay! And she said, well, you know, with your experience, I wouldn't mind it if you gave me a few hints. I said, anything I know, I'm glad to share with you anytime. So that's how things went along for a number of years. And I became, they immediately called me an assistant director. And then someone said, well, that sounds insulting to Gene O'Connor. And I said, I don't care what you call me. So they changed it to associate director. I'm fine with that. I'm just Gene. I just want to sing. So we went on, and this past year, unfortunately, Pam had some health issues around 6 weeks before ECNC. And she said, Jean, I'm okay to sing in the chorus, but I'm really not up to the directing right now, to the rehearsals and all the preparation. So would you mind taking the chorus in the contest? I said, absolutely, sure. Of course, I would help you out in any way. I love this chorus. They're fun people. They're hardworking, and they enjoy each other and the genre. Wonderful. So we competed, and I directed them in ACNC Area Convention and Contest in Orlando in April in Area 6. And that's the story of how I'm no longer just a singer. But yes, I did, in fact, retire from directing the Village Vocal Chords in 2019, December, January 1st, let's say, of 2020. And of course, soon thereafter, COVID set in. So a lot of us were doing nothing, singing or directing.
Very true. But there's just, you know, and we've had you in to coach Bellanova a few times, and we're excited to be bringing you back. And
that's exciting for me. My goodness,
you know,
such a fun group.
I mean, what's hilarious is that we're all like, when is Jean coming back? Like, there's really no
we don't even question it. We're like, when?
We're like, when is
what
she
weekend
coming?
Is Jean? Like,
when do we need to save it on our calendars? Anyway, go ahead, Amanda.
But you know, you were one of the first people I was introduced to when I was introduced to Harmony Incorporated when I was working for Flow Voice, and I started talking to Christina Llewellyn, and I said, okay, well, we're getting ready to, you know, to stream your event. We want to do some interviews beforehand. I said, who do I have to talk to? And you were the first name out of her mouth. And then she started telling me a little bit about you. And I was like, I feel very unprepared for this interview. And then everyone's like, wait, you're talking to Jean O'Connor? You're gonna and then I was nervous, but you were just the most lovely person.
Well, and thank you. I was nervous.
But then, you know, I watched you come in and work with Bella, and that was right out of the pandemic. And that was also right after we had decided, you know what, no, we wanna do something differently. We wanna be better, but in, you know, what does it take? And you came in and just like sprinkled some magic over us. I don't know what happened. And then we win a silver medal. And then I watched, I was in Area 6 when you were in front of Coastal Voices, and they've always been such a fun chorus to watch. But I saw it again. I said, look, there it is. There's the Jean. It's like magical fairy dust. There she goes again.
You can tell Jean was raised by the stage in some way. You know what I mean? Like the risers and the stage. You know, when Amanda said, Jean's so nervous to come on the show, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I am. That's for sure.
But yeah. I interviewed you during the webcast things, and it's always been that way. Angie's always shoving you to the front, and you're like, no. And she's like, get out there. Like, she has to cheerlead you. But when you're on that stage, you transform. And it's what they ask of us as performers all the time. They want that authenticity of just your true self on the stage. And if you could bottle up what you do and sell it, that's what I believe they're asking for. So thank you for being such an incredible feature of how to be authentic and just be yourself, because you've been nothing but the same Jean O'Connor that I have known since I was 19 years old.
You're very kind. Thank you. That's
I should say
sweet.
18 years old. I did one international round before. So
But what is it about this organization in particular that keeps you giving for over, what is it? Are we over 60? I can do the math. 64 years you've been giving to this organization. That's a long time to give to anything, anyone.
Well, I give only in exchange for what I get. It's not equal. I still get far more than I am capable of giving these days. From the very beginning that I described to you as to how, what kind of a setting I was in when I found this hobby, it has delivered a great deal to me. No matter how much I try to give back, I just keep getting more. And it's the service that I hope I make a difference, that I can contribute. And as you can tell, it makes me emotional just talking about it. I don't know why I wasn't emotional a minute ago. Harmony just is so fulfilling. I can't even describe it. It's more than the music. It's far more than the music. Although I love it. It's the people. It's the culture. It's sharing of the music and of friendship, certainly.
These podcasts are not scripted, everybody. I know you've heard that exact answer from almost every single Harmony Inc. member that's come on here. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. It's a convention and contest. Contest has always been secondary. The convention is what gets you there. Trust me. The contest is like you work your way up. That's like Olympics. It's like training for the marathon that happens at contest or at convention. It's the people. You keep
that's
coming
right.
back.
Sure.
It's a pretty great place to be, not gonna lie.
And Harmony's been so generous to me. I've had some wonderful accolades And as I said, I've never be able to repay for sure, but it's been wonderful. 64 years. Yeah, I think I'm getting up there, but I think I'm one of the few that's around. So unfortunately, all of our founders have passed. So, and Harmony is, well, they founded in 1959. So it's been a while.
I mean, there's only 2 years that anybody could have on Eugene.
That's right.
But for the rest of us that came in later in Harmony, the Harmony Incorporated story, it
shows. I'm walking in with my 12-year-old, you know, my 10-year-old start, you know, she's 12 now and she's.
I'm so glad that she gets to learn from you
too. She is living and breathing this. I can't wait for her to be in her. I don't know. Was she there? Yeah, she was there during the Gene coaching session, I think last time. If not, this will be her first. Like,
I think she came in for a while.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't have softball, but you know, yes. The life of a softball player, I can't control it.
That's right.
But I think I've been in a lot of different singing organizations. And I think when I came in 2017 and got introduced to all of this, you could tell there was something special about it. And I think meeting you and the Village Vocal Chords was one of the most impactful things that happened to me at that first international, and for me, which was in Nova Scotia. And I know that was a hard contest for you all. That was you came in second place, and yet I've never seen any group of women more generous and gracious and excited for a cappella. I think it was a cappella showcase.
No, it's Northern Blend.
Northern Blend. And it was just. But I could tell there was just this spirit in the room. And I remember because my boss at the time, she was a cheerleader. She wasn't a singer. And she just was like, there's something special about this room. And every time we sang a Harmony, you know, communal song, she was crying. I'm like, where do I sign? I'm like, let me into like, what chorus can I sign up for?
Amanda, I believe we had a conversation and you were like, in any other world, this would have been like, oh, the mighty has fallen. And it would have been like, what's going to happen to that group? Will they exist still next year? You know, it wasn't. Because again, it was never about the contest.
Right. Right.
And if the VVC went out there and they felt they sang the best they did, then they're happy.
That's right.
That's what they go for. They didn't go to crush anybody, to take anybody down, you know.
Not at all. That's right. Yeah. Do the best you can, as I said, and let the scores fall where they may. And certainly Northern Blend deserved that gold medal. Yes. They were a fine champion. And they have been again since.
Yes. And then they, every time I've seen VVC perform too, there's always so much joy. And even since you've left them, so much joy. And in my research to get to know this organization, have gone back and watched hours and hours. Any video I can get my hand on, I have watched. The Wizard of Oz set is hands down one of my favorite sets of all time.
How you went from black and white or sepia tone to Technicolor. Oh my gosh. It was so good.
I mean, it was just
so good.
It was just visually stunning. It's, you know, of course it sounded beautiful.
Yes. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, that was Lynn Randall's vision. She came up with the idea, and she was the engineer of all the pipe and drape and whatever she used to put that on. And several people in the chorus painted those panels. And then I think Karen Benjamin. And then Kathleen Knopoff was the costume maker. She made all the costumes for the entire chorus. Yeah.
It takes all everyone stepping up. Yeah. I mean, and you can tell that you're all like co-conspirators.
That's a good way to put it.
There's just like just enough mischievous.
I mean, have you met Betty? She's enough mischievous for the entire organization. Like, we need to get Betty. That's who we need to get on this podcast. We should actually get Jean and Betty on together. Because that's when it starts to get real fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She knows too much. I bet Betty knows a lot of dirt on Jean and Jean on Betty.
Yes, right. Yeah, we sang together in three different quartets.
Over the course of how many years?
Scale Blazers in 64 and Esprit de Corps 1 in 1974. That was the year of the the bomb scare in the auditorium. And then
we're going to have to hear about that one another time. Yeah.
And then Kaleidoscope won in 1987, but their baritone left them 6 months thereafter, and they asked if I would come and sing. And I said, well, you know, I haven't sung since, and I was, when I was singing bass last time I did. And they said, well, let's try it. So I tried it, and it worked. And we were together for 10 years, and that was a very, very fun quartet, innovative, comedic, and had a blast. Yeah.
And Betty, you can't be in Betty's quartet and not have just a tiny bit of humor in there.
That's right. For sure.
And to me, that's why she is who she's so good, is that she knows rule six really well. If you don't know rule six, is don't take yourself so seriously. Right. Betty knew how to be good and not take herself too seriously.
Right, right. And she was the first one to have four crowns, quartet crowns in the organization.
And that's not four different parts, just so you know.
Just
everybody else, but she's the lead through.
Champion lead, absolutely.
Well, Chris and I could talk to you for hours, and we will. We'll just keep talking to you. Sorry, everybody. We're just going to turn off the recording and go about our lives with Gene. But Gene, just on behalf of everyone in Harmony Inc., thank you for everything that you've done for Harmony Inc., everything that you continue to do, and for all of the magic fairy dust that you come and sprinkle all over all of us. I couldn't be more grateful to have been able to get to know you and now call you a friend and get to share more of your story with the world. We're so grateful to have you here on the show, but also just have you here.
Thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure talking with you ladies, and I hope to see you in September with Bella Nova, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then again, and in Hershey, Pennsylvania in November, for sure, with Harmony Incorporated's International Convention.
Yep.
Okay.
And for everybody else, we'll see you next Thursday.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies.